which Rava spoke about, l'kicha yedei davar acher shma l'kicha, and the Gemara, and we discussed, you know, how does this relate to the previous sugya that dealt with the world of chatzitza, so the sheet of the Ritva, sheet of Tosfos. The Rava wants to prove his point. Amar Rava meno aminala l'kicha yedei davar acher shma l'kicha. The Tanan, so he brings a Mishnah from the world of Para. Ezov katzar mesafko b'chut u'bekush v'tovel u'ma'ale v'ochez be'ezov u'mazeh. That even the Torah speaks about v'lokach v'tovel, we see that you can have over here l'kicha ayedei davar acher, el rashma mina l'kicha ayedei davar acher shma l'kicha. The Gemara wants to say, mimai dilma shayni hasam kevan dechabrei kegufei dame. Namely, that b'chol ha-Torah kula we have a world of mechubar, and that this may be a concept of mechubar. I just quoted to you on the page of the Mar Makamos, Gemara and Shabbos and Daf Kuf Kaf Heyamad Aleph, which deals with the issue of a tanur, in terms of a tanur being tameh. Is it possible to be metaher a tanur? And the Torah speaks about the fact that yutatz, it has to be destroyed, and the Gemara says that the chiddush, that it has to be destroyed, is salka daita chamina kevan dechabrei ba'ara, that since their tandurim were attached to the ground, kegufa da'ara dame, it would have a status of mechubar kamashmalan. So the same terminology of kevan dechabrei is used over here also by the chut and the kush and the ezov. Kevan dechabrei kegufei dame, and this is not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the world of mechubar. We're talking about in a situation simply where we have a medium which does not meet the standards of mechubar. So the Gemara then moves over to another raya from the world of para. Nafal mishvoferes l'shokes pasul, that without any kavonas nesina, we're not going to be mekayim the concept of v'nosan. However, he pilo, that already would be kosher. There already you have the maisa gavra, but amai. So of course, the person holding on to the shvoferes v'lakchu v'nosan amarachmana, and so we need. What's unclear over here, what we need, the lekicha or the nesina, toyan de girsos, alav shma mina, lekicha ayedei davar acher, shma lekicha. So what Tosis points out over here is that our Gemara has the girsa of Rashi. The entire pasuk I brought for you, look, velakhula tame meafar shefas achatas, venasan alav mayim chayim elkeli, that Rashi understood the pasuk, ipshuto, that we have over here two stages. A stage relating to the offer and a stage relating to the mayim. The lakachola tameh relates to the offer, and the nosan relates to the mayim. And since over here our issue is how did the offer enter into the mayim, so the girsa is that we need the lakicha, that we're being medayek from the word lakacho. However, Tosis points out that clearly this was not the original girsa that was in front of Rashi or in front of the Balei Tosfos. Rashi puts in a Hochi Garsinan, and the Ritva at length goes to show that even though one could learn like Rashi, but so of course if we do have a girsa in the Gemara that Tosis quotes, Shma mina nesina de davar acher shma nesina hachanami lekicha de davar acher shma lekicha. And I just pulled out from the Ritva what I viewed as the main sentence, Elavadai hai v'nosan nidrash lefanav ula acharav, that the word ula kacho only relates to the afar, but the word v'nosan has a double entendre, the double meaning. It relates both to the previous afar, that which came earlier in the pasuk, and the mayim, that which comes later in the pasuk, that this is a common syntax which is used in the Torah. And the Ritva brings Rabbi, brings other examples of this, and therefore, since the lakhu is somewhat more removed than Vinasan. The drasha is, it goes in two stages. First, that Nesina al yedei davar acher shma Nesina, and then that we compare Lakicha to Nesina. Okay, all of this is relatively technical. And then the Gemara moves over to another halacha of Rabbah. We have this list of halachas of Rabbah of how to create the eged properly. Amar Rabbah lo godutz inish lulva behoshanta, that one shouldn't stick the lulav into the eged once the hadasim and arevah is already there. Dilma nasre tarfe, maybe it'll tear leaves off of the hadas or the arevah. Vahave chatzitza. And according to Rashi, they would serve as a chatzitza between the minim. They would serve as a chatzitza between the lulav and the hadas, between the arevah and the hadas. And Rava says that there's no problem, min demino, eno chotzeitz. The problem over here is not so much in the Gemara as within Rashi. What does Rashi point out? Dilma nasre tarfe, halulav meshir aleya hadas v'arava, umishtayirin be'eged. These leaves are going to remain in the bound area. V'chotzitzin bein min lemin, ve'enon agudim yachad lehios lekicha achas. Now, what does Rashi appear to stress? Who does this Gemara go according to? It goes according to Rav Yehuda. Ma pit'om that we should have a sugya over here, a Gemara going according to Rav Yehuda. Everyone knows we paskin like Rabbanon. Why would Rabbah have a chshash according to the shita of Rav Yehuda? So there are two approaches over here that I'm aware of, one of the Rav in the Rishimos and one of the Aruch Laner in the Aruch Laner. The Rav in the Rishimos takes us back to Tosos and Daf Lamed Daled Amid Beis, that if we look over there where we had originally the shita of Rav Yehuda, and the Gemara is Doresh from the concept of Lekicha Tama. Over there, Tosus points out Upiresh Bahalachos Gedolos. You have it in the middle of Tosus, your maskil Shetahe Lekicha Tama. Upiresh Bahalachos Gedolos Ein Ma'akvin. That we say that the Arba Minim maybe start three lines earlier. In other words, Ubakometz Rabba Masik Dehoda Ma'akve Ahadadi, that the Gemara over here speaks about the fact that the Minim are Ma'akvin Ze et Ze for the requirement of Lekicha Tama. Lo Shanu Ela She'en Lo, Avo Yeshlo Ein Ma'akvin. Upirish Bahag Ein Ma'akvin, what does that mean? De Lo Tema Ad De Migba Kulu Bahade Hadode, Ela Imigba Kochad Vachad Lechude. Shapir Dami. The moment that we paskin like Rabban and the Lul of Ein Sarach Eged, there is no need to be notel Arba Minim at once. That one could be notel them one after the other. Says Tosus on that. V'davar Tema Hu Lo Markein. The Kevin the Kulu Mitzvah Achas Hech Yo Ilu Beze Achar Ze. For Rabbeinu Tam Higia Besifro Lo Shanu Dima Akvin Mishum Tama Ela She'en Lo. Avo yeshlo tamahi af al pishlo chibro be agado kedarinan lo darshi rabbanan lekicha lekicha lo Rav Yehuda the darish lekicha mashmai delo have tame elam ken agado. Namely, that everyone agrees, both rabbanan and Rav Yehuda, that one has to take the arba minim together. The only question is as to whether there has to be an external eged tying them together, or simply the hand can serve to bring them all together. And so the Rav understood that the concept of the hand bringing them all together is also a concept of Eged. In other words, that there's not a machlokes as to whether one requires Eged. The only question is, what's the means of the Eged? That according to Rav Yehuda, you need an external Eged, you need something to tie them together, and then we move into the issue of Bal Tosif, that it has to be the same min. Masha'in Kain, according to Rabbanon, it's enough if the hand holds them all together, and with a hidur of having something which is tied, and since it's only a hidur, there's no need that it be the same min. But therefore, the moment that they all have to be together, even according to the Rabbanan, so we have an issue of chatzitza, even according to Rabbanan. Namely, even Rabbanan require the conceptual igud, even without a davar hama'aged. That's the Rav's approach, and therefore Rashi over here, when he speaks about einam agudim yachad, is relating both to Rav Yehuda and to Rabbanan, assuming that Rashi learned like Rabbeinu Tam. That's an assumption. But the problem is that this Gemara is not only according to Rashi. This Gemara is also according to all Rishonim, including the Rambam. And the Rambam, we saw black and white, paskins like the Bahag, right? The Rambam says that did I even quote the Rambam? I didn't even quote the Rambam. The Rambam in the beginning of Perek Zayin, he has the mitzvah min hamufchar to be notel, and then he continues. V'im lo agdan, the Rambam in Perek Zayin halachava. V'im lo agdan unetalan echad echad yatsa. V'hu shiyu arbatan mitzuyin etzlo. Anyway, so that's the Bahag. The Rambam passing like the Bahag. So how did the Rambam learn the Gemara? According, and it's very nice that you set up the Gemara according to Rabbeinu Tam, but how does the Rambam learn the Gemara who paskins like the Bahag? So the Aruch HaNer is medayek in the language of the Rambam. If we compare the Rambam in Halacha Yud Aleph to Halacha Yud Beis, that in Halacha Yud Beis, which is our Gemara, the Rambam says, Agad es halulav im ahadas va'arava v'hivdil bein halulav v'bein ahadas b'matlis v'kayotze bo. If we have something which is min b'she'eno mino, then hareza chotzeitz. Hivdil b'neihem ba'alei hadas, which is the case of Rabbah, eino chotzeitz. Namely, that we paskin like Rava. She'min b'mino eino chotzeitz. And therefore, and then he continues, V'yesh olego de salulov b'chuto mashicha b'chomin shiyirtza ho'el v'en agudaso miskayemes. So over here, the terminology that he uses to distinguish between min b'mino and min b'sheino mino is either hareza chotzeitz or eino chotzeitz. In the previous halacha, when he dealt with asel agudaso gimon shol kesev v'shol zav korach olav sadin unetara yatza, Lekicha yilei davar acher, we pass him like Rava, Shma Lekicha, v'hu shi yaderach kavod v'derach hidur, shekol shalu anoso eno chotzeitz, אבל אם נוסע נסמינים האלו בעציץ או בכדרה ונטלה, לא יוצא ידי חובסו. In other words, that the Rambam distinguishes between yotza yidei chovaso and lo yotza yidei chovaso. So what the Orach Laner is medayek is that the concept of hareza chotzeitz or eno chotzeitz, we're dealing on the level of lechatchila. Namely that since the Rambam mentioned that we have a mitzvah min hamufkar to have an eged, so we should know that we are destroying the eged with this chatzitza. But the eged is not a ma'akev. Namely, had the Rambam wanted to say that we have over here a psul, he would have written, as he wrote in the previous halacha, lo yotza yidei chovaso. This, in other words, namely, to learn the Gemara, aliva de kulei alma, lufi Rav Yehuda, the concept of the chatzitza would be a ma'akev, it would be according to everyone, in other words, we have over here an issue, do we have a hafka of the eged? But as to whether the hafka'ah of the eged is posel, that would only be according to Rav Yehuda. According to Rabbanan, you would have hafka'ah of the mitzvah min hamufchar. That's also mashma, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha in Tav Resh Nun Aleph, so we have v'yachol la'agdam b'min acher, we paskin like Rabban, that the igud is a mitzvah min hamufchar, there's no bal tosif. V'im nashru meha'olim l'tocha aguda b'inyan shemafsik ein lachush the min b'mino eino chotzeitz aval shelo b'mino chotzeitz. Again, he uses the language of the Rambam, and therefore the Ramah, this is within the Ramah. The Ramah then continues v'al ken yizoher lika chachut sheragil liyos saviv ha'hadas, that many times when you buy hadas and they're connected with the rubber band, and so before you put them into the koshikluch, take off the rubber band. Again, it's not a ma'akev, but it's going to take away from your mitzvah min hamufchar of igud. So the language which is used is not posel, but rather chotzeitz eino chotzeitz. He uses the language, the Ramah uses the language of the Rambam. And then, in other words, he passes alkein liesh lizoher. The lizoher also, this is all terminology of l'chatkila. Okay, so this then is the first area that we have, just a completing of the world of chatzitza, lekicha tama that we spoke about earlier. Then the Gemara moves over to a totally different subject. The Amar Rabba, hadas shel mitzvah osur lahariach bo, esrog shel mitzvah mutar lahariach bo, mai taima hadas de lerecha koi ki aktzie mirecha aktzie, esrog de lachila koi ki aktzie me achila aktzie. Namely, that we have over here a concept of mukta l'mitzvaso. What is the source of this world of mukta l'mitzvaso? So Rashi says, the gamrinan misuka di alfinan perakama, the chol shem shamayim alatze suka, le'oser bahanoa kol shiva, ho'il v'hukta l'mitzvah. If we open up the Gemara over there on the Aftes Amid Aleph, we see that Tosfos quotes two other sources for the concept of mukta l'mitzvah, one in Shabbos on Daf Mem Hei Amad Aleph, and one in Shabbos on Daf Kaf Beis Amad Aleph. So just to see the two of them inside, so the one on Daf Mem Hei Amad Aleph, you know, quotes the world of Noi Sukkah, and points out that the world of Noi Sukkah, Osir L'stapik Mehen Ad Motzei Yom Tov Acharon, a tnai would help, and that this is even according to Rabbi Shimon, who normally doesn't have a concept of mukta. However, even Rabbi Shimon agrees that here we have mukta. Keshem sheshemen shebener kamrinan hoil v'hukta l'mitzvaso hukta l'isuro. That Rabbi Shimon doesn't have a concept of hukta l'malacha. Doesn't have a concept of mukta machmas malacha. He does have a concept of mukta l'mitzvah, and mukta l'mitzvah is hukta l'isura. Namely, that we have over here a din of mukta. We have a din, mukta is b'chal a din drabana. That we have categories of mukta. So we have a category of mukta machmas atzmo. We have a category of mukta machmas tisaron kis. We have a category of a klisha malachta leiser. And we have a category of mukta lemitzvah. And Rabbi Shimon, who disagrees with the first three categories, agrees that we have a category of mukta lemitzvah. Ma she'en ken de gemara in daftes And we have over here a Hekesh within a Pasuk, that we have a Pasuk that deals with Chag HaSukkos, that we have a connection between Chag, between the Chagiga and Sukkah. So Tosfos already bothered, why do we need these two sources? And then we have also a third source on Daf Kaf Beis Amud Aleph in Shabbos, where the Gemara deals with Ner Chanukah, Osar LaHartzos Maos Neged Ner Chanukah, and Shmuel said, why? In other words, V'chi Ner Kedusha Yeshlo, in other words, that we know there's a din of Me'ilah, but since when does Chefetz of Mitzvah have a din of Me'ilah? And V'chi Maskef Rav Yosef, Chidam Kedusha Yeshbo, D'tanya B'Shafach V'Kisa, B'Meshe Shafach Yechase. That we have a concept of not being mevaze a mitzvah, and getting personal hana'ah from a mitzvah is a subcategory of bizui mitzvah. And then the Gemara gave the example of listapik minoye sukkah kol shiva, that you're hungry and there's a fruit hanging in the sukkah, so can you eat it? So we say, no, you can't eat it because we have a din of bizui. And the Gemara says, well, what's based on what? Where is the source and where is the derivative? Is Sukkah the source and Chanukah the derivative, or vice versa? And the Gemara ends up, Elmer Rav Yosef, Avu and the Kulodam, that the world of bizui mitzvah is learned out from Kisui Hadam, and then it applies to all mitzvahs. Okay? So we have then a sugya on the Tesem and Aleph in terms of Minayin L'Atzei Sukkah Sha'asurim Kol Shiva based on Chol Shem Shemayim Al Asukkah. We have a Gemara of Muktza L'Mitzvah on Daf Mem Heyom Ad Aleph, Huktza L'Mitzvah, so Huktza L'Isuro, and we have a din of Bizui Mitzvah, the being then from a mitzvah, a din of Bizui Mitzvah. So Tosfos was bothered, what's going on over here? And Tosfos says that we have over here different layers, that the Gemara on Daf Tesem Ad Aleph is a din d'oraisa, and the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Memhei is a din d'rabanan. Why in the world would you need both a din d'oraisa and a din d'rabanan? Isn't a din d'oraisa enough? So here there's a machlokas within Tosfos between the Ri, the Stambala Tosfos, and Rabbeinu Tam, that the Ri distinguishes between a Sukkah bibinyana and a Sukkah bistirasa, that when the Sukkah is standing on its own 4 feet or walls, then we have a din d'oraisa of comparison to chagiga. When the sukkah falls down, when you're dealing with the raw material of the sukkah, then for the duration of sukkahs, we have a din d'rabanan of muktza l'mitzvah. We're dealing with after it's already broken down. That's the way the Ri distinguishes. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, the distinction is the quantity, how much of the sukkah is muktza. That the din d'oraisa only deals with the minimum zayin al zayin, the minimum hechsher of a sukkah. That's what's asur d'oraisa. Anything beyond that, there we have a din d'rabanan. That's what Tosfos says about the world of the Gemara on Daf Memhei. In terms of the Gemara on Daf Kaf Beis, the mashma, the noy mitzvah, asura mishum bizui mitzvah, lo mishum muktza. So Tosfos, by us, doesn't say very much, but Tosfos over there on Daf Kaf Beis Amud Aleph in Shabbos points out that you need that for the world of Chol HaMoed, that the world of muktza applies on Yom Tov. On Chol HaMoed, what's going to aser hanor from the sukkah? The issue of bizui mitzvah. So what's quite clear is that the latter two dinim, the two dinim that we find in Masechus Shabbos, on Daf Memhei and Daf Kaf Beis, the world of Huktza L'Mitzvah, so, and the world of Bizei Mitzvah, apply to all mitzvos. However, what is the pshuto of the sugya on Daf Tesamed Aleph? To what does the Hekesh to Chagiga apply? L'chora only to Sukkah. How in the world did Rashi know that this applies to all mitzvos? That in the world of mitzvos in general, we have a concept of chol shem shamayim aleihem. This is not my question. The Achronim asked this question, and just, you know, it's sort of leave Rashi hanging in the air. Namely, why did Rashi take our Gemara and build it on the world of Daf Tes Amud Aleph. Daf Tes Amud Aleph is a very, very, very exceptional Gemara that we have a concept of Mukta Midaraisa in terms of a sukkah because of a unique Hekesh. And to apply that to say that every mitzvah, there's a din of Chol Shem Shamayim. In other words, and therefore on the Hadas, there's going to be an Iser of Harocha because Chol Shem Shamayim. The Rambam, did I bring them? The Rambam simply says, the Rambam over there in Perek Zayin, Halacha Kavav, is not mashma like Rashi that we have over here, Adin Doraisa. Hada Shebelulav Osir Lariach Ba Mishim She'eno Roi Ela Lariach V'Hoel V'Huktza LaMitzvah Osir Lariach Ba. Just the concept of Huktza LaMitzvah doesn't relate it at all to the unique halacha that we find by Sukkah that you're going to have Adin Doraisa. I don't know. Do you have any direction in terms of why Rashi, if there are three sources, two of them vaday apply to a chetza shel mitzvah, and the third, the chora, doesn't apply, why Rashi would choose that third as the source of our halacha? I would say just the opposite. In other words, that l'chora chol shem shamayim, l'chora chol shem shamayim would be that any hana would be yosa. In other words, me'ila is not dafka the ikar hana, any hana would be yosa. But in terms of the dinim drabanim of huktzala mitzvah, bizui mitzvah, so there yitachain, that only the main hana would be that which is asr as opposed to a secondary hana. I would have thought just the opposite. Don't know. Okay, then the Gemara me'inyan le'inyan ba'oso inyan moves over from the world of sukkah and huktzah le'mitzvah to the world of Shabbos. On Shabbos we have an lamed tes malachas. There's no malacha of smelling on Shabbos, but there is a malacha of kotzer. Someone who is kotzer biyad, that's a tolda of kotzer. Normally, kotzer is done with a kli. To be kotzer biyad is a tolda of kotzer that we call tolesh. So we have an iser d'oraisa of tolesh. And the question is, where did Rabbana make gzeros of shema yitlosh? V'amar Rabba, hadas hamachubar muter lahariach bo. Not only is it muter midoraisa, because it's not a malacha, but it's also muter midrabbana. There's no gzera against smelling a hadas b'machubar. Esrog b'machubar, asr l'hariach bo. We have exera midrabanan. My taima, hadas l'hariach koi, isharis le, lo asi l'migzie. That there is no more hana'a from the hadas when it's detached than when it's attached. And so there's no reason to make exera, lest someone detach it. Esrog d'l'achila koi, isharis le, asi l'migzie. But by the esrog, there's room for gzera shema, gzera not to smell it, shema yitlosh v'yochal. That's what the Gemara distinguishes, a very classic distinction. Here we have two issues, one in terms of the girsa of the Gemara, and secondly in terms of how Rashi understands our Gemara. So let's take first in terms of the girsa of the Gemara. The girsa that we just saw is the girsa of Rashi. It's the girsa of other Rishonim as well, but who has an opposite girsa? The Rach. Let's look together at the Rach. The Rach points out Rava Amar, I'm sorry. Amar Rab. That shall mix. V'chein hadas b'machubar osur lahariach bo gezera shema yitrosh esrog mutar delo osir mitrash dela achila avid v'leechol minei haloshareslei. What's the logic behind the girsa of the Rach? And it's not only the Rach. In other words, there are other Rishonim who also have this girsa. It's a whole machokas Rishonim. Which girsa do we have? What's the logic behind to say that esrog, I'm sorry, that hadas b'mechubar is osur lahariach, and esrog b'mechubar is muter lahariach?
It's going to be also to eat the esrog, no matter how it gets off the tree, it's going to be also to eat. So we're not worried you're going to take it off the tree. But hadas is muter to smell.
Again, it's going to, why is it also to eat the esrog?
The esrog, even if the esrog would fall on the male, it would be muter.
You do mitzad muktza.
Yeah.
You're saying that. In other words, that we don't need a gezera of an iser lahariach because we have a gezera of muktza.
Right.
Because we have a gzera of muktza. Okay, I hear. I didn't learn that way, but I hear that you can learn that way. Is there another way of learning?
That it's because you can't even necessarily learn nothing. Because of the book. That, right, what we already said. That because we already said that you can't even necessarily learn nothing. So if you're not going to let it be necessarily nothing, then you're not going to pay it.
And we're not dealing over here with Yantif. We're dealing over in the middle of the spring.
Right, yeah? You can say that the Hadas's main purpose is smelling. So by you smelling it, you might come to pick it off. Mashenka might etchog, but the main thing is eating it. So by you smelling the etchog, it won't necessarily have you come to actually pluck it off the tree.
In other words, the issue over here is not that one. The issue over here is not a question of a certain cause and effect, but rather in what area are we more likely to have forgetfulness? That that by an esrog, since the reyach is the ikar hana'a, were one to be allowed to smell it on Shabbos, then one would be likely to forget that it's Shabbos and be tolesh, because there are no fences, there are no restrictions. So we would think that you would simply make it more convenient for you to smell it, not that you have to be tolesh in order to smell, but once already you're smelling, there's nothing that would keep you from going to the next stage. Masha ein kein. In terms of the esrog, you know already that mi d'oraisa, you would not be allowed to eat the esrog while it's attached to the tree. Namely, that reminds you that it's Shabbos. You know, it's when you see the esrog on the tree, you know that we have, it's an iser of getting to its ikar hana'a. So you're not going to forget that it's Shabbos and come to pull it off the tree. Namely, that by the hadas, there is no built-in reminder that it's Shabbos, and the hana'a may cause you to forget what you're doing. Masha enkein in esrog, even if you're nana from the reyach, there's a built-in reminder that it's Shabbos. And when there's a built-in reminder, there's no need for a gzeira. I think that fits a little better into the words. V'le'echol minei ha'lo sharisla. In other words, that since we have a built-in reminder that you can't be nehenah, the ikar hana'ah, so you're not going to come to be toleshit. But when we have no built-in reminder, then you may come to be toleshit. Okay, that's all possible. Moving back to the girsa that we have, Rashi adds in a statement which raises people's eyebrows, and the question is, to what degree did Rashi intend it literally? Rashi says, "Aval esrog de la achila koi, ki murach be, when you smell it, minshi, you're going to forget, v'talish v'achile, v'af im ochlo b'mechubar, ein lacha tolesh gadol mizeh." What's strange about Rashi?
Eating it is not any more. It's not more tallish if you eat it than if you pick it and don't eat it. It's equally, they're equally tallish.
But the question: are they equally tallish?
Is
when over the same Easter by picking a fruit off the tree or biting into the fruit when it's on the tree?
Or not even. At least it's a shiur when you just bite it off.
Lechora, when you bite into a fruit on the tree, that's in achinami. It's tlisha, but it's b'shinui. And therefore would be a drabanan. Why would Rashi use the phrase "ein lacha tolish gadol mizeh"? That is the height of tlisha. It's not the height of tlisha. It's the depth of tlisha. The height of tlisha is to be tolish something in a manner where you're doing it kedarko. Over here you're doing it she lo kedarko. The Rambam was very, very careful to stay away from such an approach. The Rambam, when he quotes this Gemara in Hilchos Shabbos in Perek Kaf Aleph Halacha Zayin, the Rambam over there says Hadas Hamachubar Muter Lahariachbo. Again, he had Rashi's Girsa, not Rabbi Nochananel. Shein Hano Aso Ela Lahariachbo Harecho Matsui Avol Esrog V'Tapuach Kol Haroei LaAchila. Again, to take away any concept of Esrog Shal Mitzvah, the Rambam points out over here, Esrog is simply an example of a pre ha'etz. Osir lahariach bo mechubar gzeira shema yakutz oso le'ochlo. In other words, that the only issue that we have over here is not that you would bite into the apple on the tree. We're not going to make gzeira l'gzeira. That itself is drabanan. Wouldn't it make sense to make a gzeira l'gzeira? The issue is maybe you'll pull it off the tree kedarko and then come to eat it. So within this Rashi, the Magen Avraham already was medayik. Yokutz osa la'ochol. The Shulchan Aruch has the same language as the Rambam. The issue is not biting into the apple on the tree. The issue is pulling it off and eating it. V'chi teimah haname yochol v'noshcho b'piv min ha'machubar, which Rashi says, ein lecha tlisha gedola mizo. Mikol makom, says the Magen Avraham, efshar de'ein chayav alav, de'ein derech tlisha bekach. He points out that if you knock fruit out of a tree in an unusual manner, that goes down to a level of drabana. And so there's no reason why we would make a gzera, maybe you would come to eat it, to lafkia from Rashi. The Rabbi Kiva Eger takes it a little one step further. You don't have to bring a raya from the world of throwing a rock into a tree and knocking down the coconuts or the bananas, that would be maybe ein zederach tlisha, but rather is the black and white Gemara in Menachos and daf ayin amad aleph, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, v'az gochin v'achil. The entire phrase is it's a mistake in the computer. V'i gochin v'achil batla daito etzol kol adam. That someone who simply eats things that are attached to the ground, you just bend yourself over and eat it. Eat a strawberry off of the vine on which the strawberry grows. You know, it's that's batal daito etzol kol adam. That's not the way that people eat. Is there a way of getting around these issues? Rashi L'chora knew the Gemara in Menachos, how could Rashi say Ein lecha tlisha gedola mizo if the Gemara says Gachin va'achil batla daito etzol kol adam? What two verbs are we dealing with over here? What two actions are we dealing with over here? Maybe one of them is vaday shelo kedarko, but the other may be kedarko. That the gachin va'achio, that's lo kederech achila. That's not the way people eat, but that could be still the way people are tolesh. Namely, that we have over here two different actions that we're speaking about. Eating is not aser on Shabbos. Tlisha is aser on Shabbos. What Rashi is pointing out is that you could have an act which in the world of achila is shelo kederecha. That's not the way people eat. Taking things that are still mechubar, it's like sort of Eber Min Achai. In other words, taking things that are still mechubar and eating them, but it could very well be that this would be a din of Tlisha Kedarka. Even the Maggid of Ram only says on Rashi that maybe this is a Shema. Efshar de'ein chayev alav de'ein derech Tlisha bekach. Maybe this would be considered to be derech Tlisha to eat it directly from the tree. It wouldn't be the way that people eat, but it could be the way that people are tolish. In any case.
What it means
is that in terms of Tlisha, we don't distinguish whether you are tolesh with your hand or you are tolesh with your teeth.
It's not a practical thing. No one actually does this.
Correct. In other words, the fact that people don't do this, mitzad achila, but mitzad the malacha of tlisha, we don't distinguish whether you do. In other words, there are different types of malachas. If one were to, in terms of writing, there's a difference in writing with your right hand and writing with your left hand. One of them would be doraisa, and one of them would be drabana. But no one would say that if you're tolish with your right hand or your left hand, we'd go down from a doraisa to a drabana. Namely that. And so there are malachas where were we to do it with one's feet, then that would be taking it down to a drabana. Those malachas that it's irrelevant to do with your hands or your feet. So yitachin that tolesh is one of those broader malachas that simply the limb of your body with which you're doing it would not make a difference as to whether this would be kedarko or shelo kedarko. In the world of achila, yes, not from a practical perspective, simply from a conceptual perspective in terms of the world of Tlisha. So,
wouldn't we also, because people sort of don't want the peel when they eat the Esrog, they want the fruit inside, so then, and you obviously can't just eat that's going to be impossible if you're eating it from the tree. So then we had the whole Sugya of Shabbos about Tlisha, and you get the raw, not the, something besides what you had in mind, and that's like another
assuming that our working assumption is that the Esrog and the Tamif Chazal were of a different nature, and they may have had a klipa daka, as you know, which is spoken of as opposed to the klipa that we have nowadays, and I think that's what bothered the Rambam, who lived well after the time of the Gemara. He added the tapuach in order to make it more practical. Okay. In any case, within Hilchos Shabbos, this is an open issue in terms of whether Tolesh Bepeh is Doraisa or Drabanan in the Mishnah Brura and the Shaar Tzion. It's simply brought as a Machokas Rishonim. Okay, but everyone bases themselves on this Rashi over here in Sukkah. There's no parallel Rashi anywhere else in Shas. In terms of Ein Lecha Tlisha Gedola Mizo. I was sitting next to someone at a wedding, and he asked, "What perek are you learning?" He said, "We're learning Gulav HaGosel." No, what about that Rashi, Ein Tlisha Gedola? That's the one Rashi he remembered in Gulav HaGosel. Okay, the Gemara then concludes before the Mishnah, V'amar Rabba, Lulav B'yamin V'esrog B'smol, Maita Hane Tlasa Mitzvos V'hai Chada Mitzvah, and we always give a chashivus to a greater number, and yamin has a chashivus over small, and so we add chashivus to chashivus, link chashivus to chashivus, and therefore everything is fine and good. This din of yamin usmol, how would you understand it within the world of halacha? Right, that's what the Rambam says as well. Perek Zayim, Halacha Tes, The Rambam quotes this as a... Did I quote it? Didn't bring it down, sorry. But he deals with the mitzvah kihochasa. This is the savadei olachatchila. Why am I raising the issue? Right, that we move over to Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there is dealing with a totally different topic of the world of Tarud Bidvar Mitzvah, that you're not chayav a korban chatos if your shgaga stems from the fact that you were involved in a mitzvah. That we assume that that's like more of an onus, that the involvement in a mitzvah so inspired you and so excited you that you forgot about halacha, like carrying on Shabbos, and so you're potter from a korban chatos. However, the whole concept of to'a bidvar mitzvah is only before you yotze the mitzvah, when you're still involved, not after you yotze the mitzvah. So the Gemara asked, how is it possible to speak about Torah bidvar mitzvah in terms of carrying arba minim? Once you picked it up, you already yotze the mitzvah. And so the moment you yotze the mitzvah, then one's level of inspiration and excitement goes down, and one's expected then to take into account the rest of the world, including Yontif, Shabbos, etc. And if you forget that, that's already negligence. That's already a korban chatos. So Abaye gives an ukimta. What's the ukimta? Kisha hafacho. That when you picked it up, originally you picked it up backwards. I use that term. What does backwards mean? So Rashi understands it parallel to Lulav, earlier sugas in Lulav HaGozo, that you require kederach gedilasa, like we do with the esrog before the bracha. We hold it upside down. It's always a big thing to try to explain to a child why an esrog with the pitum up is considered to be right side up when they see it growing on the tree, in which with the pitum is down. So, you know, it's to try to explain to them that halacha is this very rarefied system in which everything is dealt with without taking into account gravitation. But in other words, so we hold our esrog upside down until we're ready to do the mitzvah, and then we turn it up right side up after have the bracha over lasiyasan. So Abaye says that was the ukimta over here. That's the way Rashi understood Abaye. However, Rabbi Nochanan understood Abaye, as you pointed out, that you switched hands, that you held the three minim in your left hand and the esrog in your right hand, and that was in order to prevent you from postpone doing the mitzvah. And you're only going to do the mitzvah when you switch hands. Namely that it's a ma'akev. Question is, where did Rabbeinu Hananel come to this concept? Where did he ever see that such that you know, it's derech gedilasan is a pasuk? Where would one see a concept that the hand in which you hold it is a ma'akev? Where do we have this concept of emet? We do have it. In what area? In what world do we find that yamin is a ma'akev? That's for... In other words, until we're only going to use one hand. The question is, which hand? Well, in other words, but where do we find that yamin is a ma'akev? In the world of kachin. In the world of Kachim, everything has to be done with one's right hand. The Kohen who's a lefty has a very big problem in the world of Kachim. You know, with that he, you know, as opposed to all other areas, as I mentioned to Adam, where, okay, so for a lefty, his left hand is his right hand. A lefty puts on tefillin on his right hand. But in the Mikdash, we don't have a concept of a lefty and a righty. We just have a concept of biyamino. The Torah speaks about, you know, it's bohen yado ha'yaminis, Bohen Osno Hayaminis, and the Kohen has to simply adapt himself to the reality. He has to learn to write, like has to learn to do things with his right hand, even if it's not naturally his strongest hand. It's not so easy. As a lefty, I was brought up in the 1950s in America, in elementary school, where there were no left-handed desks. We only had right-handed desks, and we were viewed as bali mum, and we were taught to write like a righty with our left hand. We were taught, you know, so we had to hold our left hand ki'ilu, it's our right hand, and write in that manner. It was only when the enlightened people came along after I already learned how to write with my left hand as a righty that I was told that I really didn't have to do that. These are issues. It's an issue also. Some people have a chumrah that a sofer has to also only write with his right hand, and so many times, you know, I'm called up to fill in a letter in a sefer Torah. So I said, you know, I can't. I'm a lefty. They said, it doesn't really count. The letter is really there. It's a sefer already made. You know, so what? So what's kavod? So I don't need the kavod. I'm not going to write. You know, it's the kavod is really totally meaningless. But but the world of kachim, l'chora, would be problematic that we are using our left hand over here to hold the esrog. In other words, if you're dealing with if you want to build from the world of kachim, you have to hold all four meaning in your right hand. That would be a ma'akev. But to hold three in the right and one in the left, and that should be a ma'akev, is bemet very, very, very unusual.
He must get it from this Gemara, from Argalon, one of the Arabics. He must just learn that more differently than we do.
So I saw in one of the Achronim that he built himself on the previous Gemara that we saw in terms of the size of the Esrog. We said an Esrog should be only large enough that you can hold two Esrogim in one hand. Mm-hmm. Why? Dilma, then maybe you'll have to switch hands and, you know, and you drop the Esrog. The question is, but why in the world would you want to switch hands? So maybe that the Abche, that, you know, it's that the minag was before being known to the Lulav, you would hold the Esrog in your right hand and the other three meaning in your left hand, you make a bracha, and then you'd switch the hands. You know, it's that and then we're afraid that the Esrog would drop.
Doesn't Rashi say something? He also said, like, Lulav and men, the Esrog is small. He gives all reason, doesn't he?
Let's look over there again.
Someone give it to you, and then...
Yeah, that would be so that's what Rashi has to explain. L'shita so. Rashi has to explain it. L'shita so. Why are we at all concerned about it? This is back on Daf Lamed Aleph from the days. Shenosim lo esrog yamin. There was someone would give it to you in the wrong manner. But tzarach hofcha miyad liyad. That would be. Right, but according to Rabbeinu Hananel, maybe this is the way that everyone was known to Lulav. At first, they held everything backwards, and then they switched hands, and so that would be a makar that they kind of read that you would not be yotze when the hands are switched. Okay, the Gemara then ends up by us back on the Lamed Zayin Amid Beis with the nusach of the bracha. Ma tam lo mevarchinan ela al netilas lulav. So Gemara answers, Hoel v'gavoa mikulan, the Havamina is from a very, very practical standpoint. And then the Gemara asks, so why should that be ligbe le esrog v'livrach? So if you're going practically, simply lift the hand that you have the esrog. Amale hoel ubemino gavoa mikulan. And over here we have a tosfos, which understands that hoel obemino gavoa mikulam, that the Gemara is a certain lack of clarity. They want to say kasha dave lemeimar hoel ubishiure gavoa mikulam. In other words, my nafgamina that the lulav tree happens to be taller, obemino. What is that relevant to the arba minim? You know, it's shiur. You know, this is four tefachim. We have no other min, which is four tefachim. The hadas and the arava are three tefachim. The esrog even is much, generally much less than three tefachim. So what is the, in other words, to simply say shiur. So over here, the Ritva points out, no, in other words, that the hoel ubemino relates not to the height of the lulav tree, but rather to the quality. That it's a tree that has a character. It's the most royal of the trees. It doesn't have things sticking out on the sides, just goes straight up. And therefore, it's a world of chashivus that brings about the nusach habracha. Okay, that's what we have over here. I just wanted to ask you simply in terms of Ein Gozer Gzeira LaTzibur, Ken HaTzibur Yochol L'Amod, but do you want to have another shiur on Sunday, or do you want at this point, since Sunday's already Chodesh Nisan, to be involved in Pesach? What,
I'm
yes?
Out of the country.
What?
I'm leaving Sunday morning.
You're leaving Sunday morning.
I'm going to be leaving tonight.
You're leaving tonight.
I'll be here.
Okay, so let's, in other words, so I think we'll call it for this part of the Zman. Not that you should stop learning, but you can have the whatever's left of Shloshim Yom Lifnei Achag to learn. I'll give somewhat of a chazara of the more practical halachos on Monday for those who will still be around. And Li Neder, the Monday after Sukkis, after Pesach. I'm sorry, the Monday after Pesach, we can have shiur. No, I give. Oh no, we shouldn't have shiur then. I'll give Mara Makamos then. What? There's a Sunday. Tuesday we'll have shiur. What?
Isn't Tuesday? I think the official start of the Zman again is that Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. Oh, Tuesday is the start of the Zman. Okay, so then the shiur will be the following Sunday.
You're not going to have him back until Monday, right?
Why not Wednesday and Wednesday?
What?
Why not regular Wednesday?
We can have shiur on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, we can have shiur on Wednesday. I'll glean that there. I'll put Mara Makamos in the box already before Pesach. And we can have shiur on Wednesday. Fine.
Okay.
Emir Tzashem, I hope, you know, Shalof Toch Pela Satan, that we will go beyond where we have to. I mean, we have to get up to Daf Lamed Tes in order to be able to say that we learned the entire Masechta for those who are learning on the schedule of a Daf a week. Though even those who aren't learning a Daf a week, you can start now with Daf a day and catch up as well. I think we still have some 50 days until Rosh Chodesh Tammuz.
I got behind, but I caught up. Actually, I just caught up last week.
Okay. No, so you add. So we'll continue going. I mean, we won't stop when we get to the Lamed Tes. There's a lot of beautiful things in the Perek still to cover. This said, okay. So Chag Kosher Besameach for those who are leaving. What?